my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
You there, Chris?
Metallica, man. Something about Metallica just gets me going. I cannot hear this song when I'm in the car because I will go Grand Theft Auto in this hoe.
You too, huh? Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah, just turn that shit off because I'm going to wreck somebody.
Yeah.
So, well, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. This is, we'll call it our season premiere.
Yeah, 2.0.
Right? So hopefully better and better than before.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, hopefully.
If hopefully not, it'll be just the two of us this time.
No, I'm just kidding. The truth comes out. The truth comes out. All right.
I'm just kidding. I don't care.
I need to get y'all two in a room together and see what happens.
You'd have to have belt money for one of us.
Oh.
A body bag for the other.
Oh, gee. Oh, just jealousy. Just a tidge, huh?
just a smidge.
I like it. It brings up competition.
Standard white man comment.
Jeez. You gotta grab your competition by the throat
and squeeze the life out of your competition.
No one on the show got that reference.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, I'm sure you heard the little musical intro to the show, and Chris is still humming along to it right now. You know, when we're talking about ideas for a show,
we were running out of ideas, basically, people. Yes.
I wouldn't go that far, but we're just kind of turning the mill here and seeing. Let's see. I said, Chris, what do you like? And you said,
cars.
You like cars.
Yes.
And you said, what do I like? And I said, well, I like, you know, I like movies, like, you know, movies. I like TV shows. I like cartoons. We like video games.
Yeah.
Hey.
There's a lot of those in cars,
yeah,
and movies and video games.
There's cars and all those things.
Yeah.
Why don't we do an episode on that?
Yes.
And you started immediately. I've never seen this before. You started getting all excited. You started like texting me like ideas.
Your messenger blew up like 8-9 messages.
I thought
deep.
You got me confused with someone else. I was like, why is he talking to me this much? I don't know. And then it was just ideas after ideas for this.
I'm
show.
Sure my girlfriend would be very jealous if she went to those texts.
I'm sure.
Well,
yeah.
You never give me that kind of attention.
And I'm like, I don't understand it either. Yeah. And then sure enough, it's because your passion, your cars,
yes.
You're a car man. What do you like about cars? You've been in cars a long time, right?
Yeah. They're loud. They're fast. They have a lot of curves.
I was going to say they're furious.
And when you need them, they're a great tool to get you as far away from something or someone as possible.
They serve their purpose.
Yes.
And they look good doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that gas is under $2 a gallon, I'm doing it a lot more.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And with the little jalopy I'm driving now, I go a whole lot further.
Well, you just fold it up in your pocket. That's all.
Yeah.
I got Hot Wheels over here.
It's like I'm going smaller.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What did you used to drive back in the day?
Man, I'm kind of dating myself here. Again, as usual, that's what I do on this damn show. Let me ask you this. Do you remember what your first car was?
Oh, hell yeah.
What is it?
It was a 79 Buick Regal.
Okay. Mine was an 87 Pontiac Grand Am.
Nice.
Yeah. It was weird. It was it was white, and it originally had a white hood.
Little Mexican in you. Yeah, Nico.
And I was. This is the only car that I've seen this on for that model. It had a chrome grill. All the other ones had like just like the same color grill.
Yeah.
And anyway, long story short, I was in high school. I got into a little fender bender. The hood had to be replaced. We went to a little
pick apart.
Yeah, it was like pick apart or what's the price in Pasadena? Coyotes, something else, something. I don't know. Anyway, I found a hood, but it was a different color, and I was thinking, okay, we'll just paint it later. We never got around to painting later. So it had a gray hood for the remaining years that I had the vehicle. So we called it the Gray Ghost.
Oh, very nice. I get the reference.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
bonus points for anyone else that does.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'll top that. I had the 79 Regal for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Our neighbor back in the time, he had a whole bunch of cars in his driveway that weren't insured. He just was collecting
one of those guys.
He was hoarding them.
Yeah.
They told, the city came and told him, you need to either insure these cars, sell them, get rid of them, or we're going to get rid of them for you.
Right.
So he comes knocking on my door. Hey, Ed, I hear your son's learning to drive. You want one of my cars? Like, how much? He's like, it's on the house. I'll give him the 79.
Clue number one.
I'll give him the 79 Regal. And I'm looking out the window going, hey, Dad, ask him how much for that 86 IROC Camaro with the ground effects and the white paint and the sport wheels. Does it involve money? You're getting the Regal. Like, oh, you motherfucker. Got the Regal. I just got my license like 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks before. I loved that thing. It was my first taste of open road without anybody.
All right. Yeah.
Nobody. Yeah. No friends, no family, no girlfriend, no impression, nothing. I just went and started driving around. Like Sim City, I didn't know there was more than just this one block. Like, I drove around, I was like, wow, I remember. I didn't ever see these.
Freedom!
3 weeks later, I'm driving down the street, pulling up to the gas station. I can't make it into the gas station because the carburetor catches fire. The next thing I know, I put the emergency lights on. I pull over to the side of the road. Mind you, a few feet away from a gas station.
Of all places.
With my carburetor on fire. I popped the hood, and I saw what was going on. My dumbass, the first thing I did, put the hood back down, and I walked to the phone booth, called somebody to make sure they came put this fire out. Oh, my God.
That's I can picture you doing that. Just look at it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of walking. I'll see you later, car. Nice knowing you.
Like, how much did I invest into it? Like, maybe 3 tanks of gas, you know? Fuck.
That was your first. I don't have any cool experiences like my car catching on fire. I'm sorry, Chris, but it did ended up. I think that one got totaled out. Yeah, I.
How'd you wreck it?
My dumbass driving on Fairmont. Anybody that lives in the Pasadena, Texas area knows Fairmont like stretches all the way across, and people don't know how to fucking drive on that road. I've gotten into so many accidents from other people trying to cross the street. It just, one guy, I was going just down Fairmont, and one guy was trying to get into the damn Walmart. Guess what? He didn't make it. Unless he's trying to take a detour through my vehicle. Then he succeeded. But, yeah, I got a little bit of money for that, and my first real car that was mine, that I got to pick out, was my vehicle. It's a 1997 Acura Integra.
Oh.
Yes.
And why in the bluest of blue hell do you not still have that car?
Fairmont.
Oh, no!
I'm not lying. Swear to God, I'm not lying. I told it out 2 cars on the same goddamn road.
Oh.
Fucking Fairmont. I hate that road.
I can top that.
Okay. We're going to get back to my Integra later, but yeah, go ahead.
I had a, among other cars, I had a 95 Ford Thunderbird V8.
Oof.
And this was at the cusp of the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Okay, all right. So after 2000.
I'm like, right, I bought it from an auto mechanic. 95, the body was nice and clean. The interior was nice and clean. Rebuilt motor, rebuilt transmission. The odometer was at 25,000 miles because the odometer was broken, so they replaced it, and it started at zero. So it was at 25 grand. Fast and Furious comes out. Oh, shit. Here we go. So right down Rankin Road, a few blocks from the strip club where the Mobile One is at, gas station.
Okay.
Saturday night from 9 at night to about Sunday at 5 in the morning.
little competitions?
Oh, yeah. The Undertaker streak had nothing on me. Nothing could beat
me. What does that mean to our listeners? Undefeated.
Undefeated.
Okay.
Nothing. Buicks, imports, domestics, trucks, motorcycles, nothing.
Motorcycles?
Nothing beat me. Nothing beat me. The only person that beat me was me. I was doing double duty. I was working at Toyota installing leather during the day. And at night, one of my coworkers, one of my teammates, laid tile down on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped him out with that. One Friday night after doing work at Toyota and then that night working doing the tile job, a couple buddies of mine, hey man, let's go pig out a Pizza Hut, whatever. I was like, yeah, I'll meet y'all up. And I took a couple of them over there, picked out. It was like 1 in the morning. Dropped them all off. Down the street of the high school. It's like 6 blocks away from my house. I fell asleep behind the wheel.
You dummy.
I wake up. My face is numb. It smells like Mexico because something's burning. And the ground is not level. I look out the door. The ground is not level.
That's not a good sign, Chris.
It was not. I drove it into a ditch on the block of my house. I had one turn to go and one block. That was it.
You couldn't stay awake for a freaking turn?
No. I woke up because the horn didn't stop going off. And then the smell and then the numbness and then cocking my head to the side and seeing the ground unlevel, I was like, something's not right. I looked to the other side to make sure that the ground wasn't level on my side either. And all I saw was grass. Something is further not right. Will someone please turn off this horn? Dukes of Hazzard style, I crawl out the window because the door didn't open. And I realized the fallacy of my way. To further insult to injury, I thought it would be cool to have the bumper that was loose, the front bumper, hanging in the garage as like a showpiece. So I'm dragging the bumper home around the block. I come back, I see some dude's ass sticking out of my passenger window. He grabs my book of CDs and runs like hell. So I get stolen. I have a robbery in progress while my car is wrecked. And the worst part is, a year and a half later, I'm washing my car, and some wetback dofiend is trying to sell me my book of CDs. And I remembered this specifically because he had not changed them at all. Like, it was exact. Like, page 4 was Saliva and Bush, and page 7, 8, and 9 were Metallica. Like, he left them exactly there.
Well, that was thoughtful of him.
Cars, my friend.
Well, that's a pretty good story there, Chris. I don't know if I can... that one. But I will say, the time frame that I had my Integra, it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I will say I missed that vehicle. I only had it for... Got it... was it 97? I got it in 99. And it only lasted... It got totaled out around 2003? 2004? One of those years. I don't know. That's when I got my truck after that. But, man, that was fun. I did... That was the time when I was experimenting. I was putting some aftermarket stuff on there. Did some, I was one of those douchebags that had neons and stuff like that on there. I changed up the lighting and I did some stuff like some of the stuff to the exhaust and some headers and
nice.
Yeah, little fun times. Yeah,
I had that moment too. I had a 2006 Scion X8. It was a 4-door hatchback.
Yeah,
loved it. Getting into the car scene with Team Cyanide. I didn't want it to be like every other car, so I had it was Salsa Red Pearl, SRP. I had red window tint, So every time I looked out the sides or the back, people got nauseous, people got car sick. When it rained, it looked like the apocalypse with the lightning bolts going back and all the clouds and everything.
That looked badass, actually.
Tanabe Springs, I had it lower 2 inches.
So you went all out.
Yeah.
See, I didn't go all out like that just because I didn't have money for
it. I had some 17-inch Eki wheels with some low-pro tires. I did a cat-back exhaust. Did a couple of other modifications. I painted some interior pieces. The Salsa Red Pearl, so it matched the outside of the car. Not many people that did that. Cut some holes in the back of the door, so there was more speakers.
Yeah.
I did a lot of weird stuff to that damn thing. Painted the
caliper. It was fun. It's fun being able to do that.
I got a aluminum,
if you got the right vehicle for it, yeah.
An aluminum underbody panel to protect from rocks hitting so you won't bust your oil pan.
Oh, okay.
And it had grooves, so the faster you went, the lower it went to the ground.
Oh,
so
really?
It kept you real good for the aerodynamic wise, like to save mileage. Oh man, I loved it.
How'd your punk ass afford all that shit?
Because it was my first car that I got on my own. That's why I remember. Like,
right.
I went to the dealership.
I like how you just avoided that question altogether.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't married. I wasn't dating. I was doing
nothing. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was like, hey, I got this thing in the mail. I'm pre-approved. So like every other thing in life, why don't you just run these numbers and tell me that I'm not qualified? And he comes back 5 minutes later. He's like, which one do you want? I'm like, fuck you. I was like, well, maybe after work, but right now, what do you want? And he's like, well, how about that red one? He's like, it's yours. 20 right. minutes later.
Really? Wow.
Out the door with the...
I know. I wasn't expecting to get approved for my used Acura Integra. But damn it, I was approved, and I was proud of that damn thing. That was my first car. So, but yeah, that was right around the time. Like I said, I got that in, 99? That was... What, a year or two before Fast and Furious came
out? Oh, dude, you were there.
And, and see, the thing is, all my friends at the time, my buddy Marcus, he had a 97 Toyota Celica. Before more squared off thing, he had more of the oval shaped lights and everything like that.
Yeah.
It was nice. And he had some TRD stuff all over it, and he did some stuff to it. And that was a silver one, like I said. And then our other friend, he had a silver, it's like an older, it was a Nissan 280,
I want to say. Oh, the SX?
Yeah, it was an older model, but that was silver too.
Oh, yeah.
And then later on, we had another friend in our group, he got
Don't tell me he got a WRX Impreza?
No.
Okay.
He got another Acura, SRX? No, there's another Acura. Yeah, I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, it was silver too. So we kind of had our own official little group for ourselves.
Little Ricer group.
Yeah. And plus, they're all silver.
The Asian-free Asian car group.
Right, yeah. And there's and they're all silver. And it was kind of weird that we didn't mean to do it, but it was all, that's the cars we all got.
Yeah.
And
he almost be colorblind.
All right. How'd you know?
The glasses are dead giveaway.
No. Damn it. Anyway, that was a fun little time, you know, and... But anyway, I think that's enough
of us
reminiscing about ourselves. But if you've loved vehicles or, you know, just had fun with different designs on, you know, just movies, TV shows, cartoons, there's been a lot of different vehicles around.
From the entire genre that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
If there's one car you've always wanted to have in your driveway out there.
Oh, shit.
What would it be?
Put me on the spot, man. Well, if you asked me like 20 years ago, I'd say Kit.
Oh.
Or maybe 30 years ago. but who wouldn't want a Batmobile? Let's be honest. Yeah. Would you turn down a Batmobile?
If it was a tumbler.
You would turn down.
It's wide as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
In these Houston roads.
Yeah.
It would handle the beat upness of all these shitty ass Houston roads we have here. But man, it's like a Lamborghini. Those bitches are wide as fuck. The Aventadors. Those things could take up the entire damn lane. And having a tumbler, you can park that thing anywhere. The parking garages in downtown have those like concrete little loops that go around. You'd get it stuck in the middle.
This is true. Yeah. What about you?
Oh, man, to the grave.
Uh-oh.
Blame my dad for this because he was a truck driver.
Optimus Prime?
Exactly. Old school beat up.
No flinching, huh?
Yeah. Old school beat up single cab Peterbilt.
Mack truck.
I got them confused when I was a kid. So as a kid, I always thought it was Peterbilt. My dad would always tell me, it's Mac.
Right.
I don't care. That one. I want that one.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I knew what Mack truck meant. and I always equated that that's Optimus Prime. I don't even know if that's accurate, but I know Optimus Prime is a Mack truck. Mack trucks look like that. That's what Mack truck is. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Same thing with Peterbilt now. When I look at Michael Bay's.
Yeah.
Not even that. No. There's a later version of Optimus Prime where he was a Peterbilt truck. Generation 2, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ta-da.
Tribute. There you go.
Anyway, so, we, you know, when we were doing, we're actually writing down a list. We had a list of different vehicles in different rides from, you know, movies, TV shows, cartoons. And we figured the best way to kind of do this episode, let's knock it down by category.
Yeah.
All right? So, let's start, because this is probably the most mainstream, more than anything, movies.
Mm-hmm.
Movies are, there's been a lot of really well-known cars, trucks, vans, whatever, special-made vehicles from live-action, pop culture, favorite movies, icons. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the vehicle is the star of the damn movie.
Oh, yeah.
When I say vehicle from a movie, what's one of the first ones that you think of?
Sadly, it's one that I've never seen the movie
of. Oh, here we go. I can't believe, and then I still can't believe you haven't seen this movie. Go ahead.
But I am more than familiar with the DMC DeLorean.
There you go. 1981 DeLorean, yeah.
That metal. There's something about that stainless steel metal look on a car that even now, it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen West Coast Customs do a couple of jobs where they literally chromed out. Like, they got chrome paint. There's literally a chrome paint where it takes a lot of coats and stuff to do. And it's just, it's still, like, I see that and I think, man, it's just a ripoff of what the look of the DMC DeLorean looks like.
Yeah. And just the design of the vehicle itself. Dude, fucking 80s personified. The DeLorean right there. The fucking wings. Gulf wings on the doors.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Yeah. Movie-wise, I think I'd probably want that as a car.
Really?
Because you still see those driving around, and just to this day, when I see them driving around, I was like, oh.
Hell, they're here in Houston. Yeah. You can buy all the parts and put it together if you wanted to.
Yeah. I was coming home a few months ago, and I was behind a DeLorean. And I was coming from work, and I was behind a DeLorean. I was like, oh, a DeLorean, that's interesting. And then I'm, like, pulling into my neighborhood, and I realize I'm following the DeLorean. I was like, wait a minute, he's going to my neighborhood. And then he's like, I'm going to the street. He's like, wait a minute, I'm following this guy. They're like, he's going to my house. What's going on? So it turns out, like, he, like, pulls in, like, two streets in front of my street.
Oh, damn.
I was like, God damn it. Like, which house is that? Looking back, I was getting to a wreck. But, yeah, along with Kit, I would think that the DeLorean would be definitely a car.
A must-have?
Yeah, definitely. Not even have to have, like, the time circuits and the
flux capacitor.
Yeah. I wouldn't complain if it was on there, but yeah.
Would you complain if it actually worked?
No. Would you?
I wouldn't know. I've never seen the movie.
Yes, son of a bitch. Before you leave, we're watching that movie.
Oh, hell. I'm glad I brought a change of clothes.
Today's Friday, right? Yeah, you're really good, yeah. All right, so, yeah, DeLorean, probably one of the most well-known movie vehicles from pop culture, I think, throughout the ages. I mean, it hasn't gone out of style, I don't think. The movie still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You jerk. There's, what would you say some other, besides DeLorean, because that's the obvious. We were going to talk about that regardless. What else would you say?
The original Tim Burton Batmobile with the penis in the front.
Yes, the Batmobile with a penis in the front. Yes, very good, Chris. See, I would think that was Abel's favorite.
And many of our female listeners, too, if we have any.
Right. You never know. I don't know. Let us know. I don't know.
Or if any of you guys prefer that thing, we're not here to judge while we're recording.
So, yeah. Phallus jokes aside, the Batmobile from the Tim Burton movies.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Because Batman and Batman Returns, pretty much the same car. And then when it got to the Schumacher catastrophes, those movies, it got, like, neon, and it got a fin in the back, and all kinds of stuff they tried to change up on, and it wasn't the same. I didn't care too much for the later two of the Batmobiles. Did you?
I mean, mm-mm. The only one I remember is the one that had the huge, like, neon through the entire thing where it was all lit up.
That was forever, right?
Forever, yeah. It looked cool, but You put it next to the original one from Tim Burton? Oh, no, it didn't even come close.
Yeah. And the Batmobile wasn't the only thing in those movies. We had the Batwing, which, if you saw the... You have seen Batman, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking before I fucking spoil anything.
You let me borrow the movies. Remember, I copied them.
Doesn't mean you watched them. The Batwing, you know, is, I think, most iconic, and everybody remembers it because the scene in Batman goes up to the moon.
And then falls down.
And then falls down, but it's like the shape of the symbol, which is cool, but I don't know if that's logistically, like, is that a good design for a plane? I don't know. I mean, it's a good thing that he came well equipped to clip balloons and things like that. I mean, it's convenient, right, that he had that design in place.
Yeah. Then we had the
Bat ski boat.
Yeah,
that was convenient, right? That wanted that one.
And then the plane when it sunk in was it Batman Forever with the Riddler, with Jim Carrey as the Riddler? When they sunk the plane and the plane, like, the fins came off and it became a submarine.
Yeah. Ugh, God. And I honestly, if there's another version of a bat something in Batman and Robin, I really can't tell you.
He had an old Harley, I think. Dick Grayson did when he was riding around. But...
Sure, I don't know. All right, so you mentioned it before, the Tumbler from the Dark Knight series.
As far as unique, that's probably one of the most unique things for our time.
Yeah,
that I'd ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. And for a Batmobile, sure, I'll say it's a good Batmobile.
It fits the story that the trilogy was going for. More gritty, more up to date, more realistic, more humanizing, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
And even if you go on, I think a lot of people are comparing that to Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns when he had a tank.
That tank.
And I think that was your way of easing into that, and that was a good transition to that. So, yeah. I mean, I dig the Tumbler. Yeah, for a movie. Just that one scene where he's going on the rooftops and he kind of goes down into it. Yeah, dude. That was good. Dark Knight Rises, there was the bat wing, I guess you want to call it, where it kind of hovered up.
The bat, yeah.
What do you think about that one?
Ergonomically, it looked interesting having the propeller underneath.
Yeah.
And just going up that way. But it doesn't look like it should fly.
It doesn't look like something Batman would have. I don't think. It looked like a big... Like a big military vehicle, it looked like something.
Like, I was expecting, like, an oversized drone, kind of. Yeah. If they wanted to go realistic with the tank and the Tumbler, I was expecting more of, like, of a drone-shaped kind of simplistic thing. Not something, like... I guess as far as oddities go, the Tumbler looked odd, and the bat did, too. I was just expecting more of a, like, a plane kind with wings as opposed to just, like, the thing where the propeller.
When you first see it, you look, oh, that shit's badass. And then it starts, the propeller's like, wait, there's a propeller? where's the jet take off?
Jets! Where are the turbines? Like, something!
All right, and is there anything we're missing from the Batman, just the movies? We're not talking about...
Batman movies? Not that I'm aware of.
Those are the ones that immediately come to mind.
Have there been any, like, clear shots of the new Batman Batmobile that's coming out for the Batman versus
Superman? There. I mean, there was that one black and white shot of him with Ben Affleck next to it. It looks cool. It looks like a Batmobile.
Yeah.
It looks like they just.
It kind of looks like a dune buggy, kind of the way the axles on the front, or the bars come out.
Yeah, a little
kind of.
It looks like it's a Batmobile, pretty much, and that's the important thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when it comes down to it, Tim Burton knocked it out of the park with that design. It's clean, simple, it does the job it needs to do.
The Tumbler could come close to it eventually over time if it holds up.
Yeah.
The Tim Burton, the first two movies, Batman and Batman Returns, even now they hold up to the point where you can still see how that Batmobile fits in with that time and how good those movies are.
Right.
If you watch enough of if people 10, 15 years from now just watch The Dark Knight, the one with the Joker, if it holds up that long... That Tumbler will probably be on the same level.
Yeah, I agree. Give it time. I think over time it'll hold up over time. Yeah. But still, classically, iconically, I don't think you're gonna. It's even if it does hold up over time, I don't think it's gonna beat Tim Burton's Batmobile.
Yeah,
agree.
I agree.
Okay, all right. What about some more classic ones going back in the day? I got one for you. Smoking the Bandit.
You jerk! I was gonna go with the Flaming Bird too, man.
The 1977 Pontiac Trans Am. Dude, if there was ever a movie that put a that was a big commercial for a car.
Back then.
That did more sales for a car. That's the movie right there. Because that movie came out like right after that car came out.
Yeah.
And dude, everybody wanted that vehicle. So you'll see some.
Yeah. Tying that together, if there's anything that holds up now, man, as soon as I saw the concept blueprints for the Bumblebee, the Chevy Camaro that were going to bring it back, they had canceled it after about 36 years.
Okay, yeah.
2003, 2004. They put it on the shelf. And then these renderings came out. I was like, holy crap, they're bringing back the Camaro. I was a huge Camaro mark. I had one.
Right.
My dad's hand-me-down in 95. When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I want this car. And it was just a concept. And it took, I think, by the time Revenge of the Fallen came out, they were already putting it in production. And those things sold like hotcakes, man. All the colors look nice. But I noticed because I was trying to get one. The green one, it's $22,000. The black one, $22,000. The red one, $22,000. The yellow one, $28,500 with all the bells and whistles, because people knew you want fucking Bumblebee.
Right, yeah.
We're gonna make sure we get our money's worth as a dealer, so we're going to jack it up with everything.
Right.
And then Chevy got their hands on the idea and said, you know what? Let's make a Bumblebee version where we'll have the emblem on it, and we'll have Transformers like on the floorboards, and we'll have the Autobot logo stitched in on the armrest in the center console. I was like, you son of a bitch. And the logo's like on the horn. Oh my God. Even now, that's like on my top three.
That's what you got.
One of them. Yeah. Yeah. Not the updated one like now, but that one, the concept one from 96. The reason I bring it up now is because there's a car company, kind of like Hennessy, like just guys together making their own little small startup company. Hennessy does a lot of modifications. They can turn a Cadillac into like a 700 horsepower,
right,
drop supercharging, bear out the pistons and everything. There's a company in Georgia, I think, where they will get these new body Camaros and they will convert them. With the body kit and everything, the bumpers and the taillights, and they'll convert them into new generation Pontiac Firebirds and Trans Ams. And one of them is an upgraded Smokey the Bandit, black with a flaming chicken.
They were
on it.
Featured on a show.
Orange County Choppers did a bike for them, and then in return, they did a car for them.
I saw that episode. I was like, man, that sounds really familiar.
There's three yeah. different Pontiac bodies.
They look nice,
and
too.
But the one with the black one, the Bandit, man, the flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But updated with like the LS1 V8, you know, and all the, oh God. That guy. That would be number two in the garage if I had the lottery. I had the Camaros right there, and then Smokey right there next to it.
What if I said the 1973 XB GT Ford Falcon from... you're like, what? The Road Warrior, Mad Max.
Oh, wow.
Yeah? Are you a big Mad Max fan? Or?
I like the first movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because when I think of... I know of Mad Max and Road Warrior... I don't really focus too much on the actual car. Maybe because it's so stripped down in the movie.
And it's so modified that you can barely tell that if you can find one in the dealership with the Ford logo on it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Chris. I'm going to throw a little trivia out here for you.
Oh, hell.
I want to see how many people get this. If I say a 1959 Cadillac Miller Meteor, what would be your immediate response? Man, exactly. That's what the response would be from everybody else. But what if I told you, what if I said that same name, just instead of saying all that, if I just said Ecto-1?
The Ghostbusters car. The white one with the little, that guy. The Cadillac. I do that.
Yeah. Nobody knows what that is. It's like probably the most recognizable vehicles that nobody knows what the hell it is.
The origin, the make and model.
But yeah, all you got to say is Ecto-1, and that's probably the most recognizable... I don't want to say fictional cars, but I mean just...
Sci-fi, maybe?
Yeah. A character. You call that a character. It's got a name, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the movie. Yeah. Ecto-1, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, and all the other cartoon series and everything else in it.
Hopefully they bring it back for the new ones.
Oh, they would have to.
Yeah.
You know, actually I've seen... I don't know if you go to conventions, like comic conventions, but there's groups of Ghostbusters, like fans.
Mm-hmm.
They do their own Ghostbuster thing. And... They have an updated Ecto-1, and it's a
Buick Roadmaster.
No. Chevy HHR.
Oh, yeah. That little two-door, that little small wagon-looking thing?
They've been stripping that up and making that the Ecto-2 or whatever you want to call it.
It's not even, it's like half of the Ecto. Like, it's short. If anything, if they lowered it.
I mean, do you need anything that fucking big?
Dude, paint a Dodge Magnum, the wagon, paint it white, drop it about an inch and a half. Dude, you got a winner.
There you go. Those Magnums, dude.
Those are like boats.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't come with like a fin and a paddle.
You got to give Dodge credit for trying to bring back a wagon.
Yeah.
And it looks sweet, though. As far as wagons go, it looked pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Ecto-1, definitely recognizable vehicle. What about a 64 Aston Martin DB5? Now I see Aston Martin. What movie character do you think of?
Oh, James Bond.
There you
Aston
go.
Martin probably wouldn't even be in business if they hadn't been in this Bond movie.
There you go.
There's like so many iterations of the Aston Martin in so many of their movies that it's not even funny anymore.
I think Goldfinger was probably the most... I think that's when it really took notice.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it's Goldfinger. But yeah, it's been in, I think, at least three of the movies out of there. But yeah, Aston Martin, that's what he drove.
Yeah.
That's it. That's James Bond. And that... Culturally, that became the most well-known vehicle due to the movies. So, anything else to say about that?
There's some sick-looking cars, though.
I'm not a... You know what?
It's the grill. Out of the evolution of the cars and the differences, even now with the DBS and the DB9s and the Vantages, dude, that grill has been the same the entire time. That it's like a little open mouth. It's like a little oval.
Right.
And then it just has like a little wart in the middle, and it pops up, kind of, like a little hill. And even now, it had so much popularity, Ford bought them, Aston Martin, and they wanted to add some spice to their, like, bland cars, because they had the Tauruses, and then they had the S500 or whatever, the 500.
Yeah.
They ditched the Taurus name, and they brought back the 500. Well, they wound up bringing them back. They wound up doing the Fusions. That was, like, their next thing. Like, they really wanted to get away from the Taurus name and try something fresh. So they did the four Fusions, and it was a basic-looking car, nothing too special.
Right.
The new refresh that they just did, they literally pulled out the grill shape from the Aston Martin.
Oh, really?
There were car shows and car magazines that took off the badge and said, all right, if we put this car, what do you think of? Oh, my God, Aston Martin's making a four-door coupe? Shitballs, you know? Porsche's doing it. You know, a bunch of other companies are following suit. Audi, Volvo. They're like, oh, my God, they're doing it. It's like, nah, it's a Ford, dude. That's the brand new Ford Fusion. It looks boss, dude. That grill. You see it. That grill's been around. That's probably one of the few like front fascias that hasn't changed.
Yeah. It's iconic.
Yeah.
You don't want to change it. Yeah. Speaking of car shows, things like that, you know, the Houston Auto Show, that's coming up this weekend. Are you going?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah?
The Pagani Huayra is going to be there. One of the world's fastest supercars, 0-60 in about 3 seconds.
That's like
like $800,000. Pagani's a small group, small shop overseas. They did the Pagani Zonda. They have 3 or 4 different versions of the Zonda. It's a beast of a car. It's been around for about five or six years, and car guys are like, man, how are you gonna follow that?
Yeah,
they broke out the Huayra. No joke, dude. It's sick.
You know they have those ride and drives. Are you gonna?
They had them Thursday, Friday, and they're having some tomorrow, but I think they end like at 4:30.
Mm.
But those are just like domestic cars here. Like last year, a car that's on my bucket list right now that I want to get my hands on that I can realistically try to get, the Scion FRS.
Okay.
They're bringing back the small boxer engine, rear-wheel drive. It's a partnership from Toyota and Subaru.
Mm.
Subaru's got their own versions of BRZ. It's like $24,000.
Oh, yeah.
Rear-wheel drive. It's got the tires the size of the Prius. Like, they're skinny and they're thick, so you can burn out all day and just, like, rotate them. You're good on a set. You're good for a while. I got to drive that last year at the auto show. They literally, there's a place in the back where they come in and out. Dude, you leave the property. Like, you're going off 5 or 6 blocks. You're on Old Spanish Trail.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. That part's fucking fun. Like, I'm trying to go drive it again because they have a limited release series, and it's like solar yellow, and they have a nice little lip on the outside and dual exhaust TRD with like lower springs. I'm telling you, I can barely breathe. Man, those drive, they're fun though, dude. They'll get your ID, they'll make a copy of it, make sure you know how to drive and you're not an idiot. I don't. That's why I kept my. I was quiet the entire time until I got behind the wheel. Paddle shifters and everything. Oh.
You started giggling like a schoolgirl when you got behind the wheel.
Yeah, a couple of wipes were used after I got out of the car, but you know,
a couple,
yeah, a couple boxes.
Right. Hey, did you watch that old movie? There's back in the day, there was a lot of like car chase movies.
Dude, I'll be the first to say. I haven't watched that many,
yeah.
But the ones that I have seen, nowadays there aren't any franchises that are making consistent car movies like that. There, other than I think Fast and Furious, there aren't any good car movies where you walk out saying, "Man, like Smoking the Bandits, like oh man, I need to find a brochure. I need to find the brochure for that Firebird."
Yeah,
nothing like that anymore. Back in the day, like Le Mans, 24-hour Le Mans, Bullet.
Yeah.
The original Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yeah, Bullet had the 68 Mustang GT 390. Gone in 60 Seconds, that one had, it was a 73 Ford Mustang. So, and that was the original one. And then the remake of Gone in 60 Seconds was a 68. It was a Shelby.
It was a Shelby GT500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Eleanor.
Oh, I had never in my life seen a nitrous button on the gear shifter.
Yeah.
I saw that and that car took off. That's. Doing the remakes of the movies could be a hit or miss. A lot of the acting in that movie is a hit or miss. But that fucking car, dude.
I know what
I preferred that car over the original.
Yeah.
Like the original movies, the original movie, like the last 25 minutes is one long, long no CGI. It's all stunt work. And at the very end where the car jumps over all those police car squads and the oh man. That car in the remake though, to me it
I like up. I'm with you. I like the body the Shelby. Kit,
the wheels, yeah. The grill, the like the
I like
the pins on the hood. Yeah. It kind of updated it for people that are into getting the cars now.
I like the remake of Gone in 60 Seconds more than the original movie, but both of them, I think the remake it complemented the first movie very well. It didn't. It kept the feel and the flavor of the original, down to Eleanor. You know the Mustang.
Especially when Nick was flirting with her in the beginning. Like, I know we've had rough situations in the past.
Yes.
Going back to the first movie. He's like, yeah, we've been there, done that. We're going to try it again.
Yeah. And Bullet, I saw... I remember the one thing that I always take away from that movie is there's, a long-ass car chase in that movie, car scene. Dude, you see it several times, cutting corners. You see hubcaps go flying off. I counted 5 hubcaps fly off.
I the spare, maybe?
Sure, why not? I counted those damn hubcaps flying off. I was like, wait a minute, something ain't right with this goddamn thing. All right. So, but it makes it for a wonderful chase scene.
Yeah. One movie I didn't expect to have one.
What's that?
Just as long. Blues Brothers.
Yes.
That is one of the most funniest car chase scenes. when they make the turn and all the police cars start piling up, boom, boom, and they keep going. It's so freaking hilarious.
The Bluesmobile is a 74 Dodge Monaco.
Yeah. God, that lasts. And it's even flying at one point. It just lands flat.
Now I want to go watch the movie again.
I know, man. Just the last 25 minutes.
Right, yeah. Do-do-do.
Do-do-do. Oh, they're all hiding and taking off and shit.
Oh. More of the family-friendly variety. Herbie the Love Bug.
Oh, that Volkswagen buggy?
Yeah. I think that did for that generation, for the Bug, what this generation did for the Camaro.
Yes.
And to an extent, the Trans Am. I think that was one vehicle that everybody wanted a Bug after that movie came out.
Oh, yeah.
You say what you will. Yeah, Herbie the Love Bug, whatever. But you know what? It's Disney. It's a classic. Everybody knows it.
And the car stood out. That paint scheme with the 56.
Yeah.
And the old racing like light livery. Oh man, everybody wanted that.
Yeah.
And even now, you can go to Mexico down here in the border. You can still I think up to like maybe 3 years ago, there was still a plant that were making Bugs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And even now, there's a secondary like fan club cult where they get the old vans and the buses and the old Bugs and they'll renovate them and they'll upgrade them to like instead of the old beat up little four cylinders they have. They drop like Hayabusas and like motorcycle engines in there for speed and have a rear wheel drive.
Souped up a bug?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. They're lightweight too. But that's its downfall because it's so low to the ground and it's short that you don't really have that much control over all that speed. So you better know what you're doing or build a badass roll cage.
build a roll cage. Okay, so Herbie was like the original classic design. You know, was it 90s? They did the little dome remake.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of that? I don't know. I was never a fan of that one.
It was too bubbly. Yeah. It was too tall.
Too girlish. I could never see a guy driving that vehicle.
It was too fat. That Volkswagen was light and it was small. That looked like it was plump a little. The update that they've done to it now, it kind of looks like a Porsche, obviously, because Porsche builds Volkswagens. They're owned by Porsche.
So the new one does
the very new one. Instead of it just being just like a big bubble, it's like cut off to where it kind of has like a sleek curve, like the old 911s do.
Yeah.
That's what the new Volkswagens look like. I would be more comfortable as a dude driving the way the bugs look now.
Yes, absolutely.
Primarily. If I can't get the classic one before I would get the original ones that came back.
Have you ever been in an original Volkswagen bug?
Yeah. My ex-father-in-law had one. He bought one from Mexico. He brought it over.
And my brother had one. Yeah. My brother had one. I was a kid. And guess what came out as a kid? Transformers. Bumblebee. He's like, oh, cool.
Double whammy.
You got Bumblebee. Awesome. And then I drove it. I was like, oh, man. It's all right.
Why am I driving with my feet? I'm like the Flintstone. I'm just like running. There's no floorboard.
But, you know, we said before that probably the most recognizable was the DeLorean and this other stuff. But you know what? If you think about it, the Volkswagen Bug,
that's probably seen
in more movies spread out throughout the 80s. It might just be in the back corner somewhere, down the street, in the scene somewhere. But damn it, you're going to see a Volkswagen Bug in a lot of fucking movies.
Hell, the original Transformers, they made a nod to it when Sam went to the used car store to get the old beat up Camaro, and the Volkswagen was right there, right next to it.
Well, that was a throwback to Transformers, but still, again, 80s and Volkswagen.
Yeah,
yeah. So you can't watch an old horror movie from the 80s or 90s without seeing some kind of bug. You'll see it. It's kind of like Where's Waldo. Every movie is like, okay, where's the bug at? Oh, there it is. Just not even in pop culture. Just driving down the road yourself. You're in with a car with somebody. You see, you're driving down the road.
Punch bug.
Punch bug. Who doesn't know punch bug?
Yeah.
How did that shit get started?
Some sick bastard, I bet. It must be related to him.
Probably, yes. Fucking jerks. All right. There's probably one more movie that I'm going to name off here that I would say a co-star or a plot device in it was a pretty recognizable car.
The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California. Less than 100 were made. My father spent 3 years restoring this car. It is his love. It is his passion.
It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
So. Ferris, what are you talking about? Ferris, my father loves this car more than life itself.
A man with priorities so far out of whack doesn't deserve such a fine automobile.
Oh, yeah.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
That lovely, that beautiful Ferrari.
California. Damn.
How fun would that be to drive that around? Did you like that? You've seen that movie, haven't you, Chris? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I think the one time that movie I think hits everybody is when the mechanics, their garage attendants, they take it for a joyride. They cut to the scene and they're flying in the air, the Star Wars theme playing in the background. Let me ask you this. Why did Ferris think that you could go reverse to remove the miles on a vehicle? He's supposed to be this genius, right? And he tries to go in reverse to remove miles.
A watch. Gears. to turn it forward to move the time forward. You turn it backwards to turn the time backwards. An odometer is pretty much a gear.
Same concept.
So you would think if you're moving forward, it's counting. When you're stopping, it's not moving. If you go backwards, it could go backwards. I tried that. Before I watched the movie.
Okay, all right.
And I realized I'm not the only one.
That's why you like the movie. It justified your stupidity. All right.
And my love for Ferraris.
Yeah.
It's got to start somewhere for Ferraris.
You think that maybe introduced a lot of people to Ferraris?
Oh, yeah.
80s, I think that's...
Oh, yeah. That's when you started seeing posters of cars in kids' bedrooms.
Yeah. And Ferraris and Lamborghinis. Oh. Who didn't want... When I was a kid, even I had a poster of Lamborghini with the sides up doors.
The Countach?
Yes. Yeah. It was that one in the Testarossa.
Testarossas, Countaches, and Diablos were basically the 80s of super sport cars.
I remember as a kid, I just liked saying Testarossa.
If I ever had a wife that was stupid enough to let me name my daughter Testarossa.
It's Italian. It's, yeah.
Molto bene, Testarossa.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man! All right, I think we spent enough time talking about movies. Let's get into some fun stuff here. TV shows.
Oh wow!
There's been more iconic ones and more character based vehicles. I mentioned one before, Kit from Knight Rider.
A talking car, my new best friend. That's with all the you light need. That went back and forth.
That's all you need is a car that talks to you. You'd be
I wouldn't. Yeah. Oh no.
I've actually seen some modifications. Hell, my friend that had the Celica, he actually had the little grill light LED light that went back and forth. I think that's an easy mod. I mean, that you can find that's recognizable. That everybody see it. Oh hey.
Oh yeah.
Didn't we go to Steak and Shake once? And there was a black. What was it? Was it a Challenger?
Yes.
It was a black Challenger. Yeah. All decked out, blacked out and everything, and it had the little Knight Rider visor going back and forth on the grill, like, oh, you son of a bitch. Because I think once we saw it, we were staring at it for quite a while.
Yeah. Being a car guy, the new episodes, they were horrible.
Yeah.
But I remember them bringing back Knight Rider 2000, mm-hmm. and they had a hugely modified body kit on the Ford Mustang.
I think so, yeah.
The car itself looked nice.
There was one, it was like a... I don't think it was that. It might have been that series, but it was like Team Knight Rider. And you had like a Hummer, and you had the Mustang, and I think you had something else too.
I don't remember that.
The fucking mid-90s, dude. Yeah, nobody. Do you remember a show that came out in the 90s? It was called Viper. It was about the Dodge Viper.
Yes!
It transformed.
It was red?
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It like changed colors and shapes and shit like that, and had like weapons and...
missiles and shit.
Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, in stealth mode, it was red.
That's
it,
right.
It was cool. It was chilling. It was like right off the lot. When you pissed it off, it went like gunmetal gray
into
like U.S. Marines, like warfare type shit. Yeah. Oh, I love that show. I do remember that show.
That went from like, I think just a season though, right? It didn't go very far. But I remember that's what put Dodge Viper on the fucking map.
Yeah.
That's like, ooh, Dodge Viper? That's a car? Mm-hmm. Can I get it?
It's how much?
Yeah.
I'll start selling blood now.
Okay, here's more classic, iconic one. The General Lee, Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, God, that horn. There's so many things
that about horns that... you go for? I go for the doors. Like, they slid in through the doors.
That's the first...
The jump hood.
That's the first TV car that I ever saw that literally did have a roll cage in it. And they weren't afraid to show that that the car was modified that had that in there. It just works so well. I don't know.
That show was made for that car.
I don't know how many times I broke my coccyx trying to slide across the hood of my car, not timing the landing, and then smack my ass right on the ground. Right on the ground.
Well, you're an idiot, so...
Even in my Buick Regal, because it's old and the metal's...
Really? The Buick Regal?
They had a big door. The car had big doors, and it was metal, so I knew if I tried to put my big butt on it, I wouldn't bend it out of shape.
But
so.
Even then, if you're able to land it, I mean, it's like a Buick Regal. You still can't look cool doing it.
Shut up.
All right. What about the A-Team van?
Oh, wow.
Not really cool or anything like that. Well, I guess it could be cool to an extent, but...
Back in those...
Recognizable.
Yeah. Almost its own character.
And the fact that it was a van and not like a sports car or tank or anything like that, it was just a van. And they decked it out. They souped up the van to make it a badass van.
I had a nice little smile watching the A-Team movie with Bradley Cooper and Liam Neeson and seeing the van. Their version of the van was pretty much the same body. It was just a different paint job or different.
Well, they reference it in the movie and they dropped it, like they blew it up or something. And Rampage as BA was like, my van.
Yeah, that was a good nod to the original. I liked it.
It was fun. Yeah. I remember that came out around the same time as The Losers, because they're both like the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, was the A-Team, I think, a little bit more successful than the Losers on that one, though, but
not by much. But I would think the A-Team did well.
I don't know. The A-Team went balls out. I mean, when you have them, like, dropping a tank out of the sky and him in the tank, like, firing shit.
Yeah.
That pretty much tells you. They're not taking any chances on that one. All right. Speaking of, like, we're talking about 70s, 80s. What about Starsky and Hutch?
Oh, Starsky and Hutch.
The little Gran Torino, the little red and white one? Yeah.
My dad told me that back in the day when he was younger, he had a Gran Torino.
Really?
Same color. I was like, what happened? Got married. God! how I would learn the hard way myself.
And then there's the remake. Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, yeah. Snoop Dogg is a little teddy bear. Or
Huggy Bear?
Huggy Bear. Supposed to say Tiggy Bear. Huggy Bear, yeah.
Snoopy the Bear.
Yeah, Snoopy the Bear. What the fuck? That guy. The fucking bear. Fuck him.
One show I remember when I was younger, Lee Majors in The Fall Guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think about that one. Yeah.
Before monster trucks were the big scene, there was a GMC pickup that was 4x4 modded, where I thought that as a kid, I remember like he jumped off the front tire to get onto the stepladder to get into the truck. And it was always there was always a ramp or there was a car or something he would jump or run over in every episode. And I remember it was like a brownish dark color, that truck with the chrome bars on the back with the four headlights on top.
Mm, yeah.
Loved it. To this day.
What about not really a land vehicle, but what about Airstrike?
You mean Airwolf?
Hey, what about another vehicle?
Airwolf. I remember the beginning intro where it's like a hill and a desert, and you just see the helicopter coming
out.
Airwolf.
Yeah,
that's what you meant to say. Yeah, I got you.
All right, so let's see, what else is there? Miami Vice. We mentioned before they had the Ferraris, Testarossa.
Yeah,
was there a Ferrari Daytona
for Miami Vice,
or just in general?
In general,
yeah. Anyway, they had some Ferraris. That was like another.
It's Miami. If there's a place to have all those exotic cars, it'd be there.
Yeah. We mentioned in the movies. Let's talk about TV now. The Batmobile. The 1966 Batman TV series, Batmobile.
If you can count on your hands and your toes, you still wouldn't have enough fingers or toes to count how many weapons and how many gadgets. The Bat parachute, the Bat phone, the Bat radar, the Bat everything in that damn car. It's so odd looking. Like, it's nothing like you would expect to see anywhere that you can buy. I always think that's like a one-of-a-kind car in either movies or television or cartoons or anything that can
kind of sort of close. Kind of sort of. It was a 1955 Lincoln Futura concept car that was featured in one or two movies, just not decked out.
Modified the way it ended up being.
But yeah, as is... Yeah, that they took that and they modified it out to the Batmobile, and that's what it's more recognizable for more than anything, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, even as a kid, again, going back to syndication and things like that when we were kids, in the 80s, there were still toys coming out. I had a friend, he had a toy of the Batmobile, the 1966 toy, or Batmobile. So from the 60s to the 80s, 20 years of being known as the only legitimate Batmobile, really, until Tim Burton.
Yeah.
So, I think that holds up as one of the most well-known Batmobiles out there. Anything else?
That covers it as far as the car.
Oh, there was a 66 Imperial Crown from Green Hornet, the Black Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
It's all decked out black with the green tinted lenses and, of course, all the weapons and shit they put on that, too. Were you ever a Green Hornet fan? I know Batman was everywhere, but I don't think Green Hornet was on syndication.
Green Hornet wasn't as mainstream.
Uh-uh. It wasn't on syndication like Batman was.
Yeah.
So I missed out on that. But, I mean, go back and watch some of the episodes, but wasn't really a big fan of Green Hornet.
No.
But the car, everybody knows.
I learned about Green Hornet afterwards, watching Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Yeah,
that
okay.
He was Kato.
Yeah.
So that's how I got my first glimpse of that. And then the updated version with Seth Rogen.
Yeah, I think that's what the current audience.
But that car in the updated version is just as good looking.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Did they use the same one?
The
68? Yeah. Or the 66 Imperial? Yeah. Okay. All right, man. So we've kind of been beating around the bush about other things. There's TVs, movies. Yeah, fine. Whatever. Okay. Cartoons.
Oh, God.
This is where the shit's going to hit the fan.
This is where the imagination starts to run wild. Off the top of your head, pick one.
Batmobile.
Oh, Lord. We've talked about Batman enough.
Well, damn it. Get a bad one and we won't talk about it.
Nothing's going to top Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
If I were to rank every single Batmobile in any kind of form, video game, movie, TV show, cartoon, that long limo, long-ass version of the Batmobile from the Animated Series.
Yep.
So good that it even had its own episode, The Mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that car. If there was a car that needs to be made into reality,
well, technically, it kind of sort of has. I mean, people's fans have actually made their own Batmobile styled after the Tim Burton Batman animated series Batmobile. Doesn't obviously do everything it's supposed to do, but I mean, they just take the chassis of another vehicle and they just do a huge body kit for it, pretty much, and that's the frame, pretty much. Yeah. So, but yeah. It's such, like, we go back to what we said about Tim Burton. It's such a classic design. Simple. Streamlined. No frills to it. That's what you get. You know? Plus with the cockpit door opening up.
Oh, sliding out.
Yeah. So, again, we've already talked about Batmobile. So, one that I've grown up on as far as cartoons go. There's one obvious one. I'm going to save it for later. I'm going to say the Mach 5.
Speed Racer!
Go, Speed Racer, go. You had the Mach 5, and then you had, you know, Racer's X car, but I think everybody knows freaking Mach 5.
Mach 5, dude.
Yeah. Dude, talk about a design you're not going to beat. You know, they did the, they made a movie out of it, whatever.
A live-action movie.
But they kept the design pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I think in the 90s, they did, like, a new Speed Racer, and they changed up the Mach 5 and everything, and
wasn't the same.
Yeah, it wasn't the same. You gotta have the Mach 5 the way it is. And plus the feel of the original, that's more nostalgic thing than anything. Is just that was my first intro to like true like Japanese animation. Bad voiceover dubbed. So, did you ever watch Speed Racer?
And as a kid, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the 90s, during the animation block on MTV,
they would show
Speed Racer. And that's when I started getting into it when MTV brought it over. And that was one show that me and my brother, my older brother watched it when it came on. So when I was watching MTV, he would say, "Oh shit, Speed Racer, I watched that." And we'd laugh our asses off at the voiceovers and just the freaking intro scene. Just the theme song and everything. There's like he's hitting racers and like the racers are going over the edge of the track and everything. Yeah, that's classic shit right there. But what about you? Because we're going to be talking about some classic shit here in a second, but what about you?
Oh, man. Honestly, I have no idea where to begin.
Yeah, there's so many of them, right?
Just found out today they're releasing a Lego set.
Uh-oh.
A couple of Lego sets, and the first picture I saw was the Mystery Machine.
Mystery Machine.
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, yep. Yeah, who doesn't know what the Mystery Machine is? The Shaggin' Wagon?
Every single episode of Scooby-Doo was exactly the same. It was always the person you least expected. None of that mattered. Velma's glasses didn't matter. The blonde idiot didn't matter. Football boy didn't matter. It was about Shaggy, the mutt, and the van. The freaking van, dude.
And I give him credit. When they made the live-action movies, they actually kept
the style, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because you can't mess with it. It's classy. You can't touch it, right? So, yeah, there's that. I'm going to throw you one. The Turtle Van.
Holy crap. Whose favorite is that? Is not that.
I'll give him credit where credit's due. The cartoon came out. They needed a recognizable vehicle to get him around. Let's soup up a little...
We'll put a Volkswagen mouth on the bus. Bumper.
Yeah.
We'll put a mouth on the bumper.
Yeah.
And a shell on the front where that Volkswagen badge would be.
I think nostalgic-wise, I think that's just a fan favorite. It brings a smile to your face. There you go. Turtle Van. The new Nickelodeon cartoon, they sort of brought it back.
It's like a subway car with wheels on it?
Yeah. The Shell Razor.
Yeah, the Shell Razor.
Oh, but in when they escaped New York, I think it was... Oh, it was April's dad.
He had the bus. He had the old school bus. Yeah.
And that's what they drove off in. So they haven't done it yet, but I'll imagine they're gonna modify that to the bus or to the turtle van.
A classic for me. I don't know how old classic the meaning of classic would be. The Homer.
That's true, yeah. There you go. Talk about it. There you go.
There's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer Simpson meets his twin brother. Twin brother owns a Powell. He owns a car company, Powell Motors. Whether you're driving near or far, Powell is a powerful car. And the brother's like, dude, come to my shop. I'll give you any car you want. And he's like, I don't like any of these cars. Like, really? What's wrong? He's like, I don't like them. Fine, Homer. Make your own car. And he made the Homer, which was the most atrocious... Senseless,
beautiful
debauchery of metal,
but
God, it's hilarious. It plays like Cucaracha when you honk. Has a separate bubble for the kids, soundproof so you don't hear them. It has two spoilers,
right? Because one's not enough, right?
And multiple antennas.
Again, because one's not enough.
It was so awesomely bad that it bankrupted the company and the brother wound up losing his business and going homeless.
Right.
God, the freaking Homer. I have Hot Wheels of it. I have two of them at home.
Just the fact that they made it Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
That says something right there. Yeah. That's a good one. Not really a car per se, but would you ever get a custom Bort license plate?
I wouldn't be able to find them. They'd be sold out all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
No, my son's also named Bort. Since we're talking Simpsons, how about their SUV? Do you remember their SUV?
No, what is it?
Woo-ha! Canyonero!
Ah, yes. You got me. You got me. Do tell. Enlighten our listeners.
Oh, there's a new SUV in the town, and Marge wanted to upgrade the car, and she was intimidated. And then she went to the dealership, and she opened the door, and little steps popped out. And then, like, the lighter on the other side was, like, lipstick. And, like, the car was, like, 10 feet higher than everybody else. And then she didn't want to deal with the traffic, so she just drove off the road and off-roaded it down the hill to the house. Like, I can fit 45 bags of groceries in the back. Yeah, like, oh, God, it's hilarious.
I'm waiting for that vehicle to be released.
Oh, you can find them, like, everywhere now, dude.
Yeah.
Shit. Anything. There's a bunch of huge-ass SUVs out there now. It's not even funny.
All right. Enough of this nonsense. Thunder Tank. Thundercats.
Oh. Do tell.
Do tell? What do I have to say? It's the freaking Thunder Tank. It's got claws on the side. Could climb up sides of the freaking mountain.
Oh, that brings back memories.
I think that would classify as maybe like a stainless steel metallic look to it. That might have some stainless steel for you. But just the weapons on that. Again, what vehicle in the cartoons in the 80s and 90s didn't have weapons to it, you know?
Yeah.
But, the Thunder Tank. I was a big fan of the Thundercats just in general. So I got to throw that out there. Shout out to any Thundercats fans out there. Yeah. I like the revamped from the just a few years ago. They did a
Thundercats. The one on Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah. I like that series. I'm pissed that it got canceled, actually. Toys didn't sell, so show gotta go.
Shocker.
Yeah. But they did the new Thunder Tank version on that one. Souped up version. That was like a monster of a tank. Jesus.
Yeah. Did it do the same job? Climbed up walls and shit?
When I say it's a souped up version of a Thunder Tank, I mean.
So it flew up the wall.
Blew up the fucking mountain.
And then when it fell, it landed on his feet, right?
Yeah, Thunder Tank is definitely a well-known monster, you know, just a cartoon vehicle.
Compare it to the Hiss Tank.
Oh, shit. As good as the Hiss Tank was for G.I. Joe, it was one of the most well-known Cobra vehicles. I don't know. That'd be a good matchup. Like, who would win Thunder Tank versus Hiss Tank? I'll put that on our Facebook page. Showdown.
Death Race.
Right? That was a good movie, too.
Yeah.
No, the original Death Race 2000, not the remake. That didn't have anything to do with the original one.
Oh, come on. Give Danny Trejo some slack, man.
No.
Okay.
But the Roger Corman, I think 1978, 79 classic, cult classic. We're transitioning. That's a bad transition into a movie, but Death Race 2000. So, yeah. There's so many movies. There's so many vehicles in that movie. Frankenstein. I don't know. If you haven't seen the movie, fuck it. I'm not going to tell you about it. But go check it out. I'm not sure if it's on Netflix or whatever, but yeah.
We could spend the next 30 minutes mouthing off every single card that was in the Transformers cartoon. How about you narrow it down to a couple that you really like?
Are we going off realistic-based vehicles or just any of them?
Any of them.
Hot Rod. Because the first series had, like, there was the Maserati, Wheeljack, you had the Porsche, which is Jazz, you had the Mack truck, Optimus, you had the Volkswagen Bug, Bumblebee, you had the Indy car, the Formula car, which is a Mirage.
Yeah.
A
lot of well-known entity cars.
Ferrari was a Sideswipe, yeah. Lamborghini was a Sunstreaker. Am I forgetting any? I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two. The Decepticons had the F-14s. Yeah. All the jets, you know, were the same ones. Am I forgetting any?
No, you got them down. I think after naming off every single intellectual property car-wise with all those cartoons, I can see why you like Rodimus, because it's like nothing compared to all the other cars.
The movie did it for me, okay? It sold it for me.
Oh, dude, the way it was introduced in that movie, the animation and everything, it looked so sleek. That's the one car that has no name rights to any make or model. It's just its own entity. Like I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it looked like in Cybertron.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Without the rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned the cast of Transformers. I'm going to say something. All of Mask. I told you Mask, and you're like, what?
It sounded familiar. I know of it. I just can't remember in my mind as a kid watching it.
Get out of here, Chris. Jeez. Mask, for those who don't know, Chris, had, I would say, realistic-looking cars. And they just, I wouldn't say transformed, but they were modified. They, like, formed into, like, weaponized versions of the vehicles. Like, there was an 86 Camaro that was the Thunderhawk. It was red Camaro. And the wings, it would have Gulf wings.
Oh, the Gull wing doors?
Yeah. And those, it would fly. It would have, like, jet packs on the side or whatever, and it would just, like, shoot up. And it had multi-purposes.
Okay.
Land and air. you would have different vehicles like that. Like, there was a motorcycle. It'd flip up a helicopter, and it would fly, too.
Oh, nice.
So, all kinds of different things. There was, I want to say it was probably like a GMC Jimmy or something like that. But, like, the back would, like, pop up in, like, a gun turret.
Oh, wow.
So, it would have, like, there was a 57 Chevy. Again, like, the whole body would, like, lift up, and it would have, like, hidden guns underneath it. So, you know, it's just, like, they took recognizable vehicles, and it's, like, I can soup them up. Crazy, like. And I can't believe you, a car guy, you would never...
I had to brush up on that.
God damn, I hate you sometimes.
And this episode was my idea.
Yeah, it was, miserably. Right? Yeah.
I'm failing miserably because of Mask. Because, yeah, I think I hear the word Mask, and I think of cars.
Shut up. There was in the 90s, they tried to revamp it, called Vortex. They had the same concept. It was pretty much Mask for the 90s. It didn't, whatever. It didn't do good. You don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to skip. All right. So, that's pretty much it for that. I'm sure... I know we mentioned stuff from The Simpsons. What about Futurama? The Planet Express ship?
Oh, yes.
That's recognizable. The Jetsons. The flying car from The Jetsons.
Hell, the Flintstones. The Flintstones car. The calendar, yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, we could spend forever talking about this shit. But for the sake of time, we're going to move on here. Oh, one last one I want to mention about cars. The Gadgetmobile from Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
It was a minivan, and then it transformed into a little hot rod. Oh, yeah. That was just the animation on that was pretty cool. Now, I thought. Anyway, did I leave out anything that we wanted to mention?
I think we got everything.
Right.
We actually knew ahead of time that we were going to record this episode on cars. So I posted a question on Facebook that you can find us at facebook.com/popculturerewind. We asked some of our listeners what their favorite cartoon, television, and movie cars were. And we got a few responses, so we're going to go through some of them real quick for our listeners. Randy, her cartoon car was the Jetsons flying car.
Okay.
The TV car was Marshall's Pontiac Fiero from How I Met Your Mother, specifically because of the Proclaimers tape stuck in the cassette deck. It's little things like that that give a car a personality that it makes its own character.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I can understand her pick with that. Movie car, the car in Smoke Signals with the busted transmission that could only be driven in reverse. If that's the case, I'm going to nominate the station wagon from Uncle Buck. That sounded like you were going to get shot at every 5 seconds.
And that was the whole gimmick in the whole movie, yeah.
Aaron, his cartoon car was Thunderhawk from Mask.
Okay,
so apparently somebody else watched the show. TV car, Kit from Knight Rider.
Yep.
He misspelled it, though. He only used one T. So he loses points for that. Movie car, the DeLorean from Back for the Future. Lisa, her cartoon car. It was interesting. She's picked the car from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the animated car.
Yeah. The cabbie.
Yeah, cabbie. The TV car, Lee from Dukes of Hazzard. Well, generally.
Yeah.
Another one loses points. Movie car, the Batmobile from Batman Returns. I know it's inside information. That's what her favorite Batman movie, Batman Returns. So that's probably why she picked it.
Specifically, Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same vehicle, more or less.
Yeah. That's why I know that's her favorite movie, because she could have just said from Batman.
Right.
From Tim Burton's Batman, but she wanted to say that one. Hmm. Iffy. His cartoon car is the Turtle Van. Well, actually, Iffy on this Facebook thread started posting pictures instead of just listing what he wanted. So hopefully I get this right. Cartoon car, he picked the Ninja Turtle Van.
Right.
TV car, he picked Kit from Knight Rider, but the picture has David Hasselhoff on it, so I don't know how much of influence he had in the decision. Movie car, Penis Batmobile. Yeah, Tim Burton strikes again. Jeff, his cartoon car is animated series Batmobile. Mm-hmm. TV car, Dukes of Hazzard, running theme around here apparently. Mm-hmm. And for the movie car, he picked the Hemi Cuda 446 from the movie Phantasm.
Okay, yeah. I watched Phantasm a couple times. Honestly, I am not too familiar with the movie, even though I'm part of a podcast called Deep in Horror, Texas. If he says it was in there and that was a movie, yeah, sure.
Sick looking car, though.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that hasn't made Dodge's revival yet, because they brought back the Charger, the Challenger, and just recently the Dart. I think that's the last one.
Is the Dart or
Dodge Dart's old school.
Is it?
Yeah. Hmm. It was two-door, I think, back in the day. But they turned it into the replacement of what the Neon was back in the 90s.
Oh, really?
Neon sold a lot because it was small and compact.
Yeah.
So they brought back the Dodge Dart.
Hmm.
Surprised the Cuda hasn't made the comeback yet.
Yeah.
Be nice to have a small little six-cylinder, five-speed Cuda, rear-wheel drive.
You know, I was just thinking about this. This movie, it's about cars, about racing, from the 80s. It was one of the first movies that nostalgia. You know, watching with the family. My parents liked it. Yeah, I liked it because I was watching it with everybody. But Six Pack. The movie, it's starring Kenny Rogers, of all people. Yeah, it's a white movie, trust me. But he's just a racer, just a race car driver. And he's going around and hauling his race car around. But anyway, he picks up a group of kids that are left behind or whatever, and They work on his car. We're getting off track here. But anyway, it's a movie about cars, pretty much. So
the term six-pack is very familiar. For anyone that doesn't know, it's 3 2-barrel carburetors lined up on a row. And that's how you get a six-pack. Because they're either 2-barrel carburetors or up-to-date ones. They're Hollies. They're 4 barrels and one in one float bowl. But there's just one whole piece. Six-pack is literally 3 two barrel carburetors, one in front of the other, to have all the more air come in to burn off the fuel for more power. So for anyone that didn't know the reference, that's what six pack means,
and that's why we keep you around.
Speaking of movies, I'm sure we're gonna get shot at if we don't mention this. I'm surprised I didn't mention it this far. How many? Well, we talked about it earlier in the story. How many car guys were made in our generation watching Fast and the Furious?
That was damn near one of them.
I tell you, I didn't know much about racing on the street until I went in the opening weekend and saw that movie. And then 30 minutes later, I'm at the strip.
I remember I took a date to go watch Fast and Furious. No, excuse me. It was gone in 6 seconds. Anyways, after leaving, I got on the road, my Integra. Okay, now I was... Kind of scared her off.
Oddly enough, I scared off mine. I was dating a girl at the time, and I took her to Rankin, and we were at the finish line, like all right. At the other end, just chilling in the car, making out, and watching all these cars like zoom by. And then all of a sudden, from my rearview mirror, I see sirens going off. I was like, holy crap, let's get out of here. Everybody took off, like going the wrong way on the street. We didn't give a shit. Dropped her off. I was like, I had a great time. I aimed for the lips, and she gave me the cheek. I was like, I don't think she had a good time. And never saw her again.
Yeah, but Fast and Furious, I wanted to say that for later, you know, because it was its own topic, its own subject, you know. Because it's been scrutinized in the past for... I don't know, for different things, and this is just being too corny or whatever. The first movie, I think it opened up, it made it pop culture.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think if it was an underground thing, it became well-known. Mainstream. Yeah. Just some of the cars that came out with, it opened up for, you had the street racers, you know, the little four-bangers, the...
They didn't waste any time setting up the... foreign versus domestic vibe.
Yeah.
Rivalry.
And I think that was good. That was a good thing to go, because it opened up two different cultures, pretty much. And then that, you know, the second movie, the second movie did kind of go out there with some of the stuff they did in this.
Yeah, it was off the beaten path a bit.
Yeah. The third movie introduced, again, another...
Culture,
the Japanese flavor, but this time with the drifting. That was not a thing before that movie came out.
Yeah. Not here. Not in the States.
No.
Racing was either in an oval or in a straight line, but the car was straight.
Yeah, exactly. There's no... What? You turn it... What?
There's no ice skating on pavement.
Yes.
That's basically what the drifting was. There was a lot of heavy, obviously, because of the Tokyo Drift, other than the Mustang that they modified, the 350 Mustang that they that they dropped the Nissan four-cylinder into. Everything in there is literally foreign.
Yeah. And, I don't know. Movies aside, part two, part three, I don't think it was until they took the reins back on part four.
Yeah.
Made it a serious franchise. The continuity, they tied in all the loose things that you didn't really think were going to matter.
They brought back some really good cars. Like the Gran Torino, that green Gran Torino in the fourth movie. Bringing back the old Challenger. Oh, no, he had a Chevelle in the beginning. When he was doing that drag race to earn the spot in the job, Don Toretto had a Chevelle. I think it was a 70 or 71.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
And then you add The Rock.
Right.
Of course, you're going to get instant recognition because The Rock is in the
part
movie.
Part 5.
Yeah. Part 5, yeah.
And but, man, Part 5 is almost... You can almost take that movie out of that series, and it could be its own standalone movie.
You can start a brand new franchise right off of 5.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best one. Maybe part 1, it's more a little campy-ish, but it set the tone. Not set the tone, but it kind of introduced you to the world that they were trying to set. But part 5, out of 4, 5, and 6, part 5 is probably my favorite. Yeah. Maybe part 4 and then part 6.
Part 6 does come close because it kept to the same ties as the fourth one, where they brought you old school cars. I can't remember the last movie I seen that had an old Escort MK2 in it.
And was that the blue and white one that he was?
That was the blue and white.
He was flying over, and the doors flying open and everything.
Yeah. They introduced the Alfa Romeo 4C in that movie. It's a nice little concept Alfa Romeo car, little coupe, two doors, like they're selling it here in the States this year. It's actually going to be like a hair over $22,000. It's really it's really affordable car. Then they had the their modified little go-karts where they dropped the levers to flatten it out so they could actually tip cars over without even like getting into wreck. Like they had the elements in five and they like shook it up a little bit like a can of Coke, and then they opened it and that's what six was, because it was all over the place.
Yeah.
They went to the extreme on getting the old cars, and then they went to the extreme on like how far you can build your own custom car with the way they moved around the go-karts with the I guess they had the Audi engines that they use in Le Mans where it was hybrid, so you can hear it. They could hear the turbo spooling, but you couldn't hear a lot of the revving.
Oh, okay.
It's real quiet. Yeah, they went off on that. The next one, the seven, this one that they were filming, Paul Walker died halfway through the filming, and they reshot some of the movie to tie in his death in the storyline. I can't even fathom what they're gonna have, but that's probably one of the biggest movies I'm looking forward to this year to see what they're coming off on the assembly line.
We didn't mention that movie in our season finale episode. We should have. That's because I am looking forward to that movie. I don't know how they're gonna tie up everything with what happened with him, but
I want to see what exotics they're bringing.
Yeah,
because I've seen movies like Redline where they had a Ferrari Enzo. It's a $1 million car. Like, if you wreck it, you're an idiot. Need for Speed had some Bugatti Veyrons in there.
Did you watch these movies?
I saw Redline. I liked it a little bit. The story wasn't the best, but the cars kept me involved. I haven't seen Need for Speed yet, but I like the fact that all their stunts, from what I've been told, and like director's cuts and stuff, advertising, they didn't use CGI for anything. All their stunts, like they literally had the ramps built up and they measured what kind of angle to make sure you get the right flip. So if there's like movies like that, like the original Gone in 60 Seconds, where it's all straight up, what you see is what you get, I want to see what the movie's like, because I didn't play a lot of Need for Speed games, so I'm not going to have that in the back of my mind it doesn't live up to
this. Then it's a racing game. I mean, like how much are you...
Yeah. Like, or they're supposed to make a movie out of Gran Turismo.
Really?
Yeah. It's been in the works for a while.
I'm just thinking it's a game. It's a race car. Whatever, you know. Well, we kind of sort of segued into video games.
Well, there we go. Hey, we made it work. Video games. If cartoons didn't stretch the imagination enough, video games took it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
With just random vehicles. Off the top of my head, Star Fox.
Yeah.
The plane from Star Fox, from the original Super Nintendo.
The ship, yeah.
Where you had these 32-bit graphics, or 32-bit
the polygons.
Yeah, the polygons. The way that the animation of the whole game was completely different from like Mario Brothers and all these other games you'd play. To the point where I remember the plane more than I remember the characters or anything else in the game.
Well, not for me. I know, because you asked me this before.
What's dear to you in video game world as far as vehicles go?
When I think of vehicles and I think of old video games, there was a game, a franchise really, that was for the old PS1. Twisted Metal.
Yes.
Who hasn't played Twisted Metal? There's one vehicle in particular that I may have not have been the most proficient with, or I may not use it the most, but damn it, to this day I remember who the fuck it is and what he looked like. Sweet Tooth. Ice cream truck.
Ice cream truck with the clown. I can't get that image out of my head.
All right, yeah.
I'm there. Twisted Metal, that's the first car that comes to mind. Sweet Tooth.
They knew what they were doing with that.
Oh, yeah.
There was one thing that I know you wanted to mention about video games.
Oh. Being a kid, you don't want to learn to drive, but you can't drive. What else? What other options do you have? You get on a bike? Eh. You jump on a shopping cart? Eh. You go go-karting.
Yeah.
And Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo took the kart idea, and in every game that's followed it, has blown it out of the water.
Who the thunk it, right? This karting.
A regular kart.
Yeah.
Can be modified to so many options that even up to now that Mario Kart 8, they're on the 8th installment of the game, and still, to its core, it's still a kart. Like now, there's Mario 8, Mario Kart 8 has options like Need for Speed or Forza, where you can modify and change tires and change pipe frames or whatever you want to do to it. at its core, it's still a cart game after all these years, and they've still made it more than entertaining.
And you're a big fan of that series.
Oh, hell yeah. I have owned or still do own every single Mario Kart game that has ever been made.
Yeah. You play online?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you good?
On 8, I'm getting there. It takes some practice because some of the tracks, they're freaking hard. And I've bought both the DLC packs. The first one had they did an F-Zero specific track.
Mm-hmm.
They did an Excite Bike track. They did a brand new track for Zelda, and they made a brand new track from scratch that I'm not a big fan.
This is for the Wii U.
The Wii U, yeah.
You have the Wii U.
My girlfriend does. All
right.
And there's another track pack coming out in May with four more tracks on it. There hasn't been any leaks of what the tracks would be, but they're supposed to be more retro. Homages of what the other, like other games that haven't been represented yet, like Blue Falcon from F-Zero,
yeah,
has been on a couple of Mario Kart games. But other than that, or them actually making a fucking brand new F-Zero game that's been like a pipe dream for years. It's being represented in that game.
Would you be willing to throw out your gamer tag, throw out some challenges to our listeners if they want to challenge you on Mario Kart?
I will find out what it is and bring it to you on the next episode. It's not my console, so I don't have my gamer tag's not linked to it.
All right.
I had a gamer tag when I had a Wii U in the beginning, but I've heard once you can't use your gamer tag on more than one console for some reason. I don't know how that works. So if it still works, I'll find out if it does.
That isn't selling excuse or anything. Okay, so we'll just
Hey, I've been in Mario Kart tournaments, man, in the Galleria, in front of humans, and I owned people, and and Lisa can attest to it. We have pictures. There's documentation. I am good
at something.
At something. Jerk.
All right. I think we mentioned this before, but I was a big fan of the Gran Turismo series.
Yeah.
And what I would always do, when I would play it, I would buy my own vehicle that I actually owned. Like I had my Integra, and then later on when they introduced trucks, I bought they had a Dodge Dakota on there.
Oh, really?
So I bought that one. So, and then of course later on you get the souped up vehicles and all this special cars, but you always want to have your own vehicle in your garage, right?
So. I do the same thing on Forza 5 right now. I had a 95 Camaro. The only thing that's close to it on that body is the 35th anniversary. It's a 2002, but the car looks exactly the same. I had a 79 Regal, and then after that one got burnt to a crisp.
In the game or real life?
In the real life. a body shop, a junkyard across the street was selling an 82 Buick Regal. More rare. It was rarer because they had the Grand Nationals. It was 3.8, turbocharged, intercooled, black. Then there was the even rarer 4.1 with a four-barrel carburetor. Internally, those were the hardest ones to find, and somehow he had it and sold it to me. So I had that guy. When I play on Forza, I bought the Grand National, so I have that. And I got the hatchback that I have now. They actually have a mini class, so I can get the IQ that I'm driving right now. And I bought the FRS, the car that hopefully I'll have next. Hook or crook, one way or another, I'm going to get my hands on that goddamn car. So I'm with you. Like I like racing my own stuff,
right?
And
get beat.
But yeah, like a bunch of Veyrons at a Buick. Yeah, I wonder
why is that one in there? All right, man, we covered a lot of shit today. Whew.
There's one car left.
Okay,
video games. The reason I wanted to bring this topic up.
Okay,
there's one car on these current video games that if you were to say Halo, the first thing that would pop to everyone's mind is the Warthog.
I was going to say it.
Oh, really? Did I just steal your thunder?
You stole my thunder.
Oh.
You bastard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Not really. I haven't played much Halo, so I can't really explain the nuts and bolts to it. I don't know if you can.
I play the first Halo quite a bit, and I hated the Warthog. It's a pain in the ass to drive.
I've driven it in Forza 4, and I've driven it in Halo, and there's not much difference. It's still a pain in the ass to drive. But I think I know somebody that can introduce it.
The M12 Warthog, I've been told, is powered by something called a forward-housed, low-profile liquid called hydrogen-injected ICE IC plant, coupled with an automatic infinitely variable transmission. Yes, I don't know what that means either. Furthermore, the Warthog's tires have moved away from previous inert gas pocket inflation with equally burst-proof single-unit nanotube skeletons. They provide the buoyancy and ride of gas pocket tires, but are almost indestructible, it says here. Apparently, there could be endless variants, a bit like the Porsche 911 then, but unlike the Porsche 911, this is only available to members of something called the UNSC. And I don't think they do an RS version. Unlike the Porsche, which is vulnerable to disappearing off the road backwards, the Warthog is only vulnerable to Banshee's fuel rod guns and light plasma cannons. So, don't say you haven't been warned.
So that's the Warthog in a nutshell.
That is the most information I've ever heard about the Warthog. But it sounded brilliant.
It sounded real. Like, I can go pick one up off the used car lot.
Right.
Across the street.
So?
What did we miss? Did we miss anything?
Hopefully, with this episode, we've been able to make you get the feel to maybe go play a video game or go watch Fast and Furious movie or go check out a little cartoon or TV show or something.
Or take a drive.
Take a drive, yeah.
Just take a drive.
Yeah.
Hear the podcast again in the car and take a nice long drive. We need the downloads.
Yeah. Tell your friends.
Where can they find us?
They can find us on iTunes. They can find us on Stitcher. You can go to our website, popculturerewind.podbean.com. They can follow us on the Twitter. At
PopCultureRWND.
And on Facebook.com/PopCultureRewind.
Thanks to everybody on Facebook that answered our question for us. We might do some more of those in the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fun. Get some more interaction going around here.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, was there anything else that you wanted to add to the show?
Shit, I can go for a drive right now, man.
Right? That sounds like a good idea. Chris, let's hit the road. Let's go out and take a little road trip around.
Toodles!
Bye, everybody.